Let's just take a moment to pray. Almighty and loving Father, we thank you for the opportunity to be here this morning. We thank you that you love us so much. We invite you to be part of this, and we invite you to take these words, that your glory be shown. In Jesus' name, amen. We continue to look at the subject of fruitfulness. We've come to this quite difficult and challenging passage. We've heard from Ruth today already about the need to test things. I probably would be one of those people who would have thought that the £20 note was quite okay to take, because I'm not very good at checking things like that. We need to check things out. We need to see what they're really like. We need to test their fruit. Who can remember the 9 fruit of the Spirit? Very, very few people are putting their hands up there. But what we'll do is we'll test you a little bit later, so you've got a little bit of a chance to think about it. Okay. Now, very important thing. We are now coming towards the end of the period of Lent. So how many people gave something up for Lent? Oh, a few. How many of those people who put their hands up gave up chocolate? Very, very common. Everywhere I go, people say, oh yes, it's Lent, so I gave up chocolate. It's not quite, I don't quite understand it. So I thought that what we would need is some visual cues and things to look at, and maybe something to taste. So those of you who have given up chocolate, actually you can take part as well, because I didn't bring any chocolate. Right, I need 3 volunteers, please. That was incredible, just over there. 1, 2, 3, please. Speed, that was... I don't know what they think's in this. Right. Well, that's it then, thanks. What we have got here are 3 bowls with some lovely fruity things in them. Some Skittles, other chews are available, and for health and safety reasons, please be aware that Skittles are a chewy sweet, and if you've got young children, you may want to just supervise them if they do get one. Okay, health and safety over. Right, very important. What flavours have we got there? What do you think? Excellent. Any other flavours? Excellent. So we've got a variety of different flavours. But just in case, because I know that sometimes people get a little bit worried about these things, the back of the packet has got pictures of them and explains what the flavours are. So the yellow one, what's that going to be?
Lemon.
Lemon, okay. Oh. It says that the yellow one might be blueberry. That's a bit strange. Oh, let's go for an easier one. The green ones. What flavour are they?
Broccoli.
Apple?
Broccoli.
Broccoli? That's, I think we're missing the market there. Okay, well, it says the green ones might be... Oh, you know what I've done? I've mixed them all up. You see, there's the standard Skittles, and there's the wild berry Skittles, and then... there's the confused Skittles. How on earth are we going to know what the flavours are of these Skittles?
Taste test.
Taste test. Now, where are we going to get someone to do a taste test?
I'm very good at them.
Okay.
I've got an A star.
An A star in taste test. Excellent. Actually, I think that while I'm doing the rest of the talk, it might be an idea if you carried out your taste test and just check with people and go and give them the opportunity to try their taste test. Do you think you can do that? You go and do that while I carry on talking. Yes, the only way we can actually tell the difference, the only way we can test these sweets is actually to see what they taste like. And isn't that just a bit like us in our day-to-day lives? The fruits that we have in our lives is only there when other people experience it. In the early days of the Christian church, and indeed relatively modern Christian hymn writing, they spoke of the fact that they were called Christians because of the way they treated each other. They shall know we are Christians by our love. I wonder if that's the same for us. Okay, while they're going round, How many of you like reality TV? Oh, a couple of people were very brave to say that they do that. Lots of reality TV on there. There's Big Brother, The Only Way is Essex. There's I'm Supposedly a Celebrity, but no one really knows me. All sorts of different reality TV. But the one thing that always strikes me is they don't seem to be particularly real. Because I certainly don't do a lot of the things that I see on those. But they're very popular. One of the big winners in the cinema awards season this year was a film called Boyhood. A film that had very little in the way of plot, but instead followed the same group of actors as they portrayed a family over 12 years, with small glimpses into how things happened, their ups and downs as they grew older. And the main difference, and the thing that really drew attention to this film, was that compared to many films, this was actually filmed over 12 years. So the changes you saw happening were actual changes that were happening to these real people. I wonder, how would we respond seeing snapshots of our day-to-day life? How would we respond if we were to capture what we did when we weren't at church? This was really brought home to me the other day. I had a really big meeting. It was one of those meetings that was supposed to start at 9 o'clock in the morning, finish at 5 o'clock, with very little room in between. For lots of reasons, it actually finished at 1 o'clock. I was delighted. My diary said I was out of the office for the rest of the day. Nobody knew where I was. I was a free man. Or so I thought. You see, what I decided to do was just nip into town. I was going to take a lunch hour. Many of you know that lunch hours are quite a rare thing. But I thought I'd just nip into Ipswich. So there I was. I wandered in. I thought I'd nip into Waterstones, just have a quick look at the books there. And as I walked in, a voice said, "Oh, hello, Derek." I was like, "Oh, okay. Oh, hi, Dawn. Nice to see you. I should be at work, yes, but this is my lunch hour. It's okay." Had a chat. That was lovely. Walked around the corner, went into HMV, just to, you know, pass the time a little bit. As I walked in the door, coming out the other way, was one of the admin assistants from my work. "I thought you were in that meeting today." "Oh, well, yeah, I am. This is the lunch break. That's fine." And so it went on. Throughout the rest of the day, feel free to carry on handing them out, or eating a few more. So it went on. I felt like my life was part of a reality TV show. I felt like I was under constant scrutiny. I couldn't do anything, because everywhere I went were people I knew, were people seeing what I was doing. And that got me thinking, because essentially, we are the subjects of our very own reality TV show, and we've got a very, very important viewer, God himself. In fact, I was thinking about the Psalms, and in Psalm 139, it says, "Where would I go to flee from your spirit? Where would I go to get away from you? If I rose in the start of the morning, you're there. If I go to the depths of the ocean, you're there." You see, we can't get away from God. And that really was a challenge. It made me think, if people are seeing me out and about, and they're seeing how I'm acting, how am I acting? Am I acting the same way as I act in church in my day-to-day? Are you? The reading today challenges us to consider the fruit we're producing. If I were to follow you or me around and take random snapshots, what would we see? I invite you to think about your last week. Where have you been? What have you done? How are you before that first coffee of the morning? Maybe how are you on that drive to work when you've been cut up 3 times and the traffic's going nowhere and everyone seems to be taking forever? How are you when you engage with the people at school, in the playground, in your classroom? How are you at work? I don't want to stand here and say that I'm perfect, because I'm far from it, but perhaps we do need to consider, what do people see? Because what they see is the fruit of our life. I read a really interesting book recently by an American author called Brennan Manning. He was a friar, a speaker, and a Franciscan priest. And he wrote a number of very challenging and often affirming books. And I really would commend them to you, in particular, the Ragamuffin Gospel. And one of the quotes that he came up with, which really hit me, was this. The greatest single cause of atheism in the world today is Christians who acknowledge Jesus with their lips, walk out the door, and deny him by their lifestyle. That is what an unbelieving world simply finds unbelievable. Are we guilty of that? From youngest to oldest, I pose the question, are we bearing fruit? How do we test it? What impact are we having on our front lines? You see, we may be good at doing church where we are, in church, but what about our front lines? If we were locked up, would there be enough evidence to convict you of being a Christian? Similarly, the reading also warns us that there are those who do things to appear to be for God, maybe even great acts, but are actually motivated by other things. I wonder what our motivation is. Do we need to test that? How do we test it? Was my giving out sweets merely a ploy to distract you from the fact that I didn't have much to say? Was it just a way to make you think I'm quite nice? So, nice uplifting talk. Are you feeling demoralised, guilty, worried? Don't panic, because actually, none of us is perfect. All of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory that God has planned for us. And I don't really want to send you home today feeling guilty and demoralised. You see, we all fall short of the glory of God. We all fail. Even Paul failed. He's got loads of stuff in the Bible. King David failed. The man who was known as the man after God's own heart was flawed and broken. In Romans 3 we read, everyone has sinned. No one measures up to God's glory. The free gift of God's grace makes us right with him. Christ Jesus paid the price to set us free. God knows us. Isn't that amazing? God knows us exactly as we are, flaws and imperfections. And yet he still died for us. His grace was sufficient for us. We've been singing a lot this morning about grace, and we're going to be singing a bit more about it. What is grace? God's riches at Christ's expense. He paid the price for us, not through anything we have done, not through any value we added, but what Brennan Manning goes on to call God's furious love for us. So, how does that impact on what we're doing and how we are? How does that impact on the fruit? Do we need to test it? How do we test it? Well, that's where you all come in. You see, I firmly believe that we are called to be a family, a community, a group, a church. And we're placed in a church so that we don't have to be on our own. We're placed in a church to be together, young, old, those of us in between. We're there to support each other. We're there when we fall to help pick each other up. We're there to test our fruit. I don't know about you, but I'm absolutely hopeless at noticing how I can be used at times. I'm rubbish at realising the call on my life. Are you like that? Are you liable to join in with the voices that proclaim yourself to be useless? We all have a call to challenge those voices, to get rid of the falsehood and concentrate on the true fruit. And we can only do that together by the unearned, undeserved grace of his furious love. Michael Card, a singer-songwriter and biblical scholar, puts it like this. He notes that we are referred to in the Bible as poema, God's masterpieces, living epistles. In Ephesians 2, verse 10, we read, for we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. And in Psalm 139, we learn that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. What I want to tell you today, and what I want you to take away, is that yes, we need to test the fruit. We need to support one another. But our presence here together is not an accident, but it's part of God's perfect plan, and we have a role in that. So to conclude, I'd like to challenge us, how are we going to help each other to test the fruit, to make sure that the £20 note is a real £20 note, to make sure that what we are doing in our day-to-day is actually what God is calling us to do. Let's pray. Father, thank you for placing us together. Thank you that you don't place us alone, but you put people around us to support us. Thank you that we can test the things that we do. We can make sure that they are the things that are bearing fruit. And that when we get it wrong, you'll forgive us. And that together we can check out where we're fruitful and things that aren't fruitful and change our behaviour. Thank you, Lord, that you are almighty. And today, as we come to communion, reassure us of your great love, that it's your grace and not anything that we bring. Help us to support each other, to bear fruit, and to see your love in action, in church and in our front lines. Help us to be wise. Amen. Just another thing, it is good news. It's really good. I really would recommend the Ragamuffin Gospel. It's an excellent book, very, very thought-provoking. So, we come to another time of prayer. As you came in today, you were given a piece of paper, hopefully, with a mask on. Because I was thinking a little bit about how we present to other people. And I was thinking, sometimes we put a mask on. Someone says to us, "Are you okay today?" And you go, yeah, I'm fine. But actually, inside, we're hurting. Things aren't entirely right. So I thought for our prayers, what we could do is think about the masks that we wear. So on the front of the piece of paper, I want you to write or draw or scribble or whatever and put some words about your front lines, about the places that you are going, the places you are, you come across, the people you come across, the situations that you come across in your front line, your neighbours, your wider community. As we come up to a general election, think about how you can get involved with that. Think about your responsibilities. We think also about the wider world, the things that we see through our mask. We think about the troubled areas of the world. So I want you to take a couple of moments to just think about that and write that down. And then when you've done that, I want you to turn over and I want you to have a think about the things that are hidden behind the mask. Now, I'm not going to stand here and ask you to write down your deepest secrets so that you can leave it on the side and someone can go, "Oh, did you see such and such? They said this." But perhaps you just want to think about those things, those areas in your life where you're hurting, those areas in your life where you need support, those areas that you're worried, those areas where you worry about other people. And write down on there or draw something to represent that. And I'm going to ask, even though they don't know it, the music group to just play us through a couple of choruses of that last chorus we sang, just while you're doing that, and then we'll close it in prayer. So knowing that there's plenty of other things that you could write on your mask, so I invite you now to just hold the masks in front of you. You might want to, with your eyes closed, just place the mask over your face to represent all the things that you've been thinking about. And let's join together in prayer. Father, thank you that you have called us, that you know every one of us, that you love us. Thank you, Lord, for your knowledge of us. Father, we ask that you take these prayers, that you go with us and that you help us. Thank you for the people around us, the situations that we're raising to you. Remind us this week of how we have an impact with these people, of how we are influential in our front lines. Remind us and help us to be fruitful. Help us to test our motives and to support one another. Give us your eyes to see situations and a willingness to bear fruit. Lord, we particularly lift those painful things behind the mask. We lift up those situations that really need your help. We lift up those known to us who are ill or in need at this time. And we think especially of those mentioned on our weekly sheet for Paul, Alan, Joy, Christine, Glenn, Becky, Joyce, Faye, Alan, Sarah, Lorraine, Jackie, and all those known to us. Thank you, Lord, that you see beyond our masks and you still love us. Thank you that you are mighty. Take us, go with us this week, Lord, into our front lines. In Jesus' name, amen. You might want to take the masks away with you rather than sort of leaving them around and maybe think a little bit about where do you need support. Remember, after the service, there's always the prayer ministry. If you want to just go and talk to someone or want to go and share something really positive, they'll be really grateful to see you. Thank you.